Hey everyone, it's Fahan, and you're listening to the Nisa Invest Tea Talk podcast. Hope everybody's feeling good, ready to start your Friday. Alhamdulillah, it's Jummah today. And we're here to recreate, in podcast form, what happened last year at my local mosque, Sister Circle, where a few of us got together and I was able to run a session on all things halal personal finance. Whether it had to do with budgeting, halal investing, pensions, we covered all of it. And at the end of the session, I asked my sisters to leave me with what further questions they had so that I could cover it with you in podcast form. So thanks so much for joining me, and let's get started. So in this week's episode, we're going to reflect on another topic that form important influences on our financial mindset as Muslims. If you've ever thought about what does it mean to be good with money, to me that simply means being able to use money in a way that is completely aligned to your values, in the way that you earn, the way that you spend, the way that you save, the way you invest, and ultimately also the way you give. So I found it really helpful to be able to take inspirations from the words of the Quran and also from the Hadith in the way that I make sense of the world of personal finance. So you will have seen that for Nisa Invest, the tagline is wealth management to help you tie your camel. And that comes from the topic of having tawakkul. So having tawakkul means relying on Allah and believing that He will provide for us, but that on our end, all we have to do is make sure we plan and that we trust. The idea of tawakkul comes from a well-known hadith where a man asked Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu salam whether or not he should leave his camel untied and place his trust in Allah, that it will be there when he comes back, or that he should tie his camel. And the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu salam replied saying, you should tie your camel and also place trust in Allah. And so the concept of having to tie your camel comes from the idea of having to make sure that we are intentional with our actions whilst we're also trusting in Allah, so that there is an element of agency involved. So embodying the idea of having tawakkul, how does that then relate to what we face with personal finance? In this episode, we'll be going through what does it mean to be intentional when it comes to managing your wealth, and how ultimately that's a big part of having trust in Allah's plan, because we find that a lot of the world of finance relates to either having to deal with eventualities or having to deal with the unknown. But at the same time, we mustn't forget that part of having to deal with the unknown and knowing that some things are just in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so in this episode, we're going to go through four ways in which we can be more intentional when it comes to our personal finances, that how intentionality forms a big part in what really is the bread and butter of personal finances. And either when it comes to reframing how you embrace your emergency fund, how you embrace your budget, how you think about your investments, and how you think about things that are really far into the future, such as retirement or saving for your kids' university. So thanks so much for joining me. We'll go straight into this episode. So when we first think about the idea of tawakkul, it's the idea of having to tie your camel, meaning you're taking some level of precaution yourself whilst you're also putting trust in Allah. Now, when we think about precautions and personal finance, the thing that I'm referring to, of course, is the role that your emergency fund has in your financial plan. So my first point is, how do we think about our emergency fund with an increased degree of intentionality about it? Now, I don't mean to sound super simplistic when I say this, but when I think about your emergency fund, I actually feel like it means different things to different people at different points in their life. So, for example, you might have someone who has first started out in their new job, and they might find that they're in a new city. And so if there's an emergency in the home, they might find themselves, whilst they may have in the past relied on friends and family, they might have to find themselves having to throw money at a problem for it to go away. Meaning that if they have to pay for, I don't know, a plumber to come, I would say yes, your emergency fund by definition is a security blanket. But more than that, it allows you to keep going apace. It keeps you in the game. It allows you to take a degree of risk, knowing that you've given yourself that peace of mind and that cushion. So in many ways, having an emergency fund allows you to live life with a degree of less cautiousness in some ways. Because if you are worried every day about what might happen if something happens to the boiler, you will be a bit more cautious about things. And so when I say this, I think the emergency fund allows us to really feel like the sky's the limit. We place our trust in Allah, and we make sure that we have the pot of money that is effectively the security blanket, and it allows us to keep going through life and chase our goals with a high degree of intentionality. And when I say this, I can give you an example. So whilst when I first started, I thought, well, if my goal was to begin with, I would love to be in a position where I'm starting to build an investment portfolio where I'm putting money away for at least 5 years, having the fully funded emergency fund allowed me to feel like I won't need to reach into my investments if something were to happen. So at that point, what the emergency fund meant to me was, oh, it allows me to grow my wealth with confidence. But then time might pass, and maybe your priority is, look, I'm now a professional, I'm now well into my career. You want to feel like you have as much control of your own career as you can. You want to feel like you're not having to stay in a job for reasons other than you want that job. And so your emergency fund means that you are supporting your career because you're allowed to move jobs with ease because of the fact that you know that you can support yourself if needed where you may have left a particular job. But also it broadens your horizons. If you have your emergency fund, maybe transferring to a new city or taking a bigger risk by traveling to a new town to interview with different people, you're able to actually spend that extra money there. And so what I find super empowering is thinking about your emergency fund as a way to support you in reaching for bigger things. You know, it really makes you think, okay, the sky is the limit. But at the same time, yes, your emergency fund will also be there for the situations where really it is out of your control. And a very simple one is, for instance, if you have a health scare, for example, that is the epitome of something that is completely out of our control. But you've given yourself the peace of mind to be able to take care of yourself as well. And if you think about it from an academic point of view, what is it that people are teaching financial planners when they're getting their qualifications? The standard sentence is that the best financial plans help clients prepare for emergencies and also take care of their expenses. And so if you think about it as whether or not you're the richest person in the planet or you're just starting out, everybody needs to have a degree to which they're able to prepare for emergencies. And that sentence in of itself should feel super motivating. And so being intentional when it comes to your money relating to your emergency fund, you're almost going to discount it less. Or at least I've grown to appreciate what it really means and the huge part it plays in my financial plan. And so the second point that I was going to go into is related to that sentence. I said that financial planners are taught to recognize that the best financial plans are the ones that allow your clients to prepare for emergencies and also take care of your expenses. And when I think about that, taking care of your expenses is really just about knowing your numbers. So if someone were to ask you, how much does it cost for you to live? If this was a business and they didn't know the answer to that, you'd probably question their ability to stay in business for much longer than that. So when you think about the importance of having a financial plan means being able to take care of your expenses, if we tie that to the concept of having to be intentional and having tawakkul, is the idea of you not feeling like, oh, you know what, everything will be fine, I'm just gonna swipe, 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 it will sort itself out. And this is where being intentional allows us to take this seriously. How much do I spend a month just walking around, you know, just living my life, and separating that from my spending money that's for fun versus exactly how much is my commute to work costing me, how much do I spend on utilities, what is my housing cost relative to my income. Thinking about it as having like numbers that you track and taking your expenses side of it seriously is helpful, because it helps me think of it as having, you know, a degree of conscientiousness over the way that I'm living my life, and makes you feel a little bit more sensible about things. And even though you might feel like the numbers will check out in the end, this helps you avoid that. Yes, it may very well be true. It might be difficult some months, it might be hard, easier some other months, but feeling instead it's about, I'm tracking these numbers and they'll be the same ratios pretty much for your entire life. Knowing how much your housing is as a percentage of your take-home pay, knowing how much your fixed expenses are, meaning your utilities and what you spend to go to work, and what you spend on your travel and what you spend on food, as in groceries. They may not change massively year on year, but feeling like you can track these ratios and know what they are goes a long way in feeling like we're more intentional when it comes to our finances. And so, yeah, if I had to summarize the second point, I would say that knowing your run-of-the-mill expenses is actually hugely important. It almost distracts from having to spend too much time thinking, can I buy this piece of clothing? Can I afford to go to this restaurant? What you don't want to lose sight of is what may appear to be mundane figures, but hugely important. And they're the part of personal finance that allow you to actually answer the question, am I living within my means? And in many times it has nothing to do with what you spend on your discretionary spend, meaning what you spend on a one-off basis. Instead, it's about taking the time to think, yeah, how much is my housing cost as a percentage of my take-home pay? How much are bills to keep the lights on? How much do we spend on groceries? And remembering that you're taking care of emergencies and taking care of your expenses are the starting point of any financial plan that anyone has. And so that was really just the first half of the first two points that I wanted to cover about embodying tawakkul when it comes to your finances. What does it look like to make sure that you have your tawakkul tied? And that's embodied by that simple phrase that the best financial plans are the ones that allow clients to prepare for emergencies and take care of their expenses. And having that can get you a very, very long way. And so embodying, thinking about the concept of tawakkul, these next two are more related to how we think about things that are very, very far into the future. But how do we take ownership of situations that we feel like are so far into the future that it's hard to wrap our heads around it today? And so the first one is the idea of having tawakkul, meaning that you recognize the importance of time and you take more agency in planning your future because you recognize the role that time plays in the world of finance. Now, on the negative side, being aware that interest compounds the same way investment returns compound, recognizing the importance of time makes you realize that the more you pay off your debt as fast as possible, it's the best way to go. And that it won't be a winning strategy to feel like, for example, with student loans, to let them run on, for example. But this is a bit more subtle. What does it mean to really appreciate the importance of time is flipping the switch and avoid having to say, I will save more or I will invest more when I have more, because you will never have as much time as you have today. And so tying your camel in that respect means simply appreciating that there's a lot more that is in our hands today than we may think there is in 30 years' time. And so what does that look like? I mean, I always say that a budget is always the starting point, so I'm going to go back to the budget. But thinking about your investments as a percentage of your take-home pay, rather than trying to say to yourself, I'm going to save a certain amount, the very act of investing, the very act of doing so early will, inshallah, have huge returns for you, because is the only thing that will allow you to make the most of the time that you have today, so that you're able to have your investments work for you the longest time possible. And in doing that, you're able to make the most of compound growth. And embodying the spirit of tawakkul simply means giving you as much agency over planning your future as possible. This is also incredibly empowering concept to think about. And yeah, it categorically removes the sentence of I will save more when I have more, because we appreciate the fact that actually time plays an important part in the equation. And so this allows us to put a lot of emphasis on the importance of what having time on your side means. And when it comes to investing, there's like no substitute for time. It's having time in the market is really, really crucial and a really important bedrock to a good financial plan after emergency funds and after a good budget. And so, yeah, that was the third point that I wanted to cover. The last one is more about still relating to what it means thinking about uncertain outcomes in our future. And so this one, I basically call it having to demystify the uncertain. And with personal finance, a lot of it can feel uncertain because we're talking about decades. We're talking about multiple decades into the future. So surely we won't know what the future will look like. However, we mustn't forget the part where it is upon us to have to tie our camel. So the biggest future topic that you could think of is, of course, retirement. And with that, I always approached it as, let's try to demystify this. You want to simply just get to the point where things that seem completely uncertain, you're able to clear them up a bit. And so with retirement, it's simply thinking, looking at how much your employer is contributing to your pension, how much you're contributing, how is it that you can maximize the employer match if there is one, or feeling like actually I'm better off saving more into my pension to make the most of some tax benefits. All of that is almost bit by bit, you'll feel like you're more and more in control of it. And that's like how I approached it. I was like, okay, this feels really odd to have to think about so far into the future. But I almost felt like my journey was to try to demystify the uncertain for myself. And that act was me tying my camel, meaning that I wasn't going to get to the point where it was like, I have no clue about this. Because the feeling of saying, oh, I have no clue, was effectively me saying, I'm not being intentional. And another thing is, like, there are some things that are just confusing by nature. Like, I never understood how, it took me a while to understand how energy bills were paid, how did they figure out the price, all of that was like super confusing. But I just tried to adopt the hat of saying, you know what, it's super uncertain today, let me just try to make it a little less uncertain, and slowly but surely things will just clarify themselves as you go. And a really great place to start is probably retirement, if you've never thought of it before or you feel like it's a bit unclear. But this last one can simply apply to any part of your financial life where you feel like, you know what, that needs a bit more attention. It might be your taxes if you're self-employed. You might think, actually, there are ways that I could optimize that a bit more. This is also, I think, an entry point for you to feel like, you know what, it's uncertain today, but there are ways in which I can make it more certain. And that could include speaking to a financial planner. I find like that's probably the quickest way for you to get some peace of mind, but also reading books, listening to podcasts, doing all that kind of stuff. You can almost feel like in doing that, you're helping to tie your own camel because you're being more intentional about things rather than saying, you know what, let it be. And so yeah, that brings me almost to the end of it. It actually feels really good to leave that last point as an open point. Any efforts that you do to clarify something that was previously unclear, it means that that person is embodying a level of intentionality about things. And ultimately, by being intentional, we feel more in control, our metaphorical camel is tied, and ultimately that feels really good. So thanks so much for joining me. This was the Nisa Invest Tea Talk podcast. Eid Mubarak. Take care. Bye for now.